life today? Are we going to be timid? Are we going to be cautious? Or are we going to live boldly? Because when you look at the book of Acts, when you look at the early disciples, they believed that God was calling them. They believed that God was empowering them. They believed that God was with them. And if you believe all of those things, you can't help but be bold. So last week, we started looking at Acts in chapter 3. And Peter and John, we looked at this story where they were going into the temple to pray, and there was a guy that had literally been paralyzed for 40 years. And he was laying there, and he was begging, and everyone would pass him every day, and they all knew who he was. And they walked up, and he asked Peter and John for some money. And Peter and John said, look, we don't have any money to give you, but what we have is Jesus Christ. Pick up your mat and stand up and walk. And he was healed. And it says he was literally jumping and dancing in the temple courts. And everyone was blown away because they knew this guy. And they knew that this couldn't have happened without God. Peter and John believed that they had a God that could heal this person. That was bold to be able to say, I'm not going to give you any money, but I want you to stand up. To tell somebody that hadn't stood up in 40 years. Like, man. So then they get arrested, right? Because this goes against everything that everyone else is believing and teaching. And they get brought in front of the Sanhedrin, which is kind of this trial. And they have religious leaders there and priests and all these kind of people. And they're just hammering Peter and John, you know. And they're just like, what are you doing? You can't be using the name of Jesus. You can't be saying this. You can't be going out and just healing people, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they were threatening them with jail time or even death. And what did they do? Peter and John just kind of bowed up and said, what are you going to do to us? Like God is on our side. There's nothing you can do. And everything they threw at him, Peter and John just kept coming back with more God, just boldness. So then they got together and they said, what are we going to do? They're like, well, let's just ask them. We'll tell them, we'll let them go if they just stop talking about Jesus. So they came and brought him back in the room and they said, all right, guys, we're going to let you go. We're not going to put you in jail. We're not going to kill you, but just stop talking about Jesus. And then in Acts 4:20, Peter said, look, you can ask us to do whatever you want, but we can't help it. We can't help but speaking about the things that we have seen and we have heard. That is boldness to say, I can't help it. Like, you can tell me to be quiet, but I'm just going to keep talking because I can't help myself. Like, that is boldness. So last week we learned that, you know what, ordinary people, they can have extraordinary boldness. It doesn't have to be like you know, preachers and pastors and mega church leaders and all of these types of, you don't have to be that. Anybody can. The Sanhedrin, we talked about this. They literally, the Greek translated, they said, these two guys are idiots, right? But they still were able to be bold for Christ. We learned ordinary people can be extraordinary. We also learned that when we are bold as believers, the world is amazed. The Sanhedrin, all of these religious that were against them, looked at them and were blown away by what they saw and heard out of John and Peter. They couldn't believe it. But we also learned that boldness doesn't just fall from the sky. It's not something you just wake up and you have. That boldness only comes when you know Christ. That spiritual boldness only comes when we spend time with Jesus. That's it. Our behavior is born out of what we believe. If we believe that God is still the God that parts the seas, if we believe that God is still the God that creates the universe, if we still believe that God is the God that can tell people to get up and walk after 40 years, why aren't we more bold? Where's our boldness? Why are we so timid? Why are we so cautious? Why? We're going to dive into that some more today. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I just ask you to just, just shake us to our core. Show us the areas of our lives that we've been far too timid and far too cautious. Lord, ignite in us a boldness of belief that affects our behavior, not just while we're within these four walls, but affects the behavior of our lives in our homes, in our jobs, out in our community. That we are so bold for you that people are amazed. And our only response is, look, I can't help it. I can't help speaking about the things that I've seen and heard. God, ignite a boldness in all of us this morning. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to yell out the answer unless you really want to. What is one thing you've prayed for this morning? Just this morning, right? Like what's one thing that you've prayed for today? There you go, your children. Anybody else want to throw out? I mean, you can if you want. You know, what's one thing that you wake up and you pray for this morning? Or what's one thing you've prayed for over the last week, right? One thing you've prayed for over the last week. Prayed for George South and his ministry. He will love to hear that. What about over the last month? What's just one thing you've prayed for in the last month?
People in Miami that were in the condos.
The people that were hurt in the condos, absolutely. People who are hurting. People that have ministry. People that are close to us, our family, our friends. These are all wonderful things. And these are all things that we should be praying for. But I want to ask you this question regarding your prayers, whether it's this morning, this week, or this month. Would anyone other than you label your prayers as bold? Would they? Is it bold to pray for ministries? Is it bold to pray for family? Is it bold to pray for those who are hurting? I mean, all those things are needed and all those things are asked of us to do, to be intercessors, to come in and pray for one another. But when you think about the things of your life, the things that you pray for on a regular basis, would anyone other than you label your prayers as bold? Like, oh, that's a bold prayer. I can't believe you're praying that. I'm gonna tell you the honest truth. I don't think a lot of people would maybe label my prayers as bold. And maybe not some of yours. And there's a few reasons for that. I think at our core, we're selfish, right? So the prayers that we pray are prayers that relate to us. How does it affect us? Please, God, be with me at my job. Help me get this raise. Help me get this promotion. Help me get this loan. Help me get this new car. Help me get this date. You know, whatever it is, it's all about me. Like, I get that. I know I have the spiritual gift of selfishness, right? Like it's like something like for years and years and years, that was the hardest thing for me in ministry because things would come up. I knew God was asking me to like do something or be with someone. And immediately my brain, I would start calculating, what's this going to cost me? How much time is this going to cost me? How much energy is this going to cost me? Like you don't know the level of selfishness you have until you get married, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, you can't be about you all the time. All of a sudden, you have someone else living in your house that needs your attention, that you have to take care of, that you have to be with. And I thought when Beth and I got married, I was like, holy cow, I didn't realize how selfish I was. And I thought, man, I was like, I've overcome selfishness, right? I got to that point where I was like, all right, I am all about servanthood, serving my wife. And then we had a kid. And I'm like, holy cow, I'm still really selfish, right? And then we had another kid and another. And I am convinced, like, the more kids you have, that's just God showing you how selfish you are, right? He's just trying to break you down. So for those who have no kids, God bless you. You are like, you know, the Pope or whoever, right? But like, those of you who have a bunch of kids, I think God's trying to tell us something. Because it took a wife and three kids for me to finally realize the world's nothing about revolve around me. It's not about me. Like there's other people that we have to look at. So I think one of the reasons we don't pray bold prayers is because our prayers are very self-centered. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Or the reason we don't pray bold prayers is because we pray too many small prayers. You know, those little prayers that we kind of throw out there. And if they get answered, great. If they don't get answered, no big deal. Prayers that, if they were answered or not answered, nothing would really be affected in this world. There might be a little bump in the road for you or whatever it may be, but life kind of goes on. And maybe the next day or the next few days, you kind of even forgot you even prayed about it. So that's the thing. Our prayers are too small. And so we'll say things like, all right, God, be with so-and-so, be with so-and-so, be with me when I travel, be with me, keep me safe. You know, all these types of things, little small things. So we feel like we're praying, right? We were like, man, I pray all the time. And we may be praying in quantity, little small nuggets here and there. But what's the quality of our prayer? Are we really praying bold prayers? Or are we just throwing out little things here and there? And I think some of us, the reason that we don't pray bold prayers is, let's be honest, we just don't pray. It's not something that we really think about. It's whatever. Maybe we feel like we're not worthy to pray. Like, man, you know what, God, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know the thoughts that I have. Like, I'm not even worthy to talk to you, God. Or maybe we feel like we're too insignificant. Like, man, there's bigger things in the world to be praying about. There's people who've lost lives in condos that have collapsed suddenly. Like we need, like they need our prayers. Like why should I even pray for things closer to home? So we just kind of feel insignificant. And then there's those of us also that pray kind of as a last resort, right? You know, when you're in that situation and you kind of utter those words, well, all we can do is pray, right? That shows us right there what our level of prayer is. If that's the last thing we come to, if that's kind of the last resort, we're not praying bold things. Like, that's it. So, like, all of those are reasons why we don't pray, why our prayers are not bold. But when you read the book of Acts, when you look at these, the early church, that is not the way they prayed. They did not pray small things. They did not pray selfish things. They did not just pray things that were just kind of like, well, we've done everything we can. Now let's just see what God can do. No. Like, they started out with God. They started out with, like, huge, bold prayers. They didn't go to that guy on the mat, John and Peter, and say, they start asking him, well, have you seen a doctor? Did you talk to a nurse? What? Let me see your medical records. Like, you know, let's figure this out. Have you tried a splint? You know, they didn't do any of that. They just said, you know what? God's with you. Get up. Get up and dance. Let's go. Like, that was bold. We don't have that kind of boldness anymore. The church doesn't have that kind of boldness because the people of the church doesn't have that kind of boldness anymore. We're timid and we're cautious and we're scared. And nothing we do screams boldness anymore to anybody. So then you look at the book of Acts. We're going to pick up right where last week ended. We're going to start in, we'll do Acts 4. We'll start in verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they went back, and I'm sure like all of their people were like shocked to see John and Peter. They were probably already like divvying up what they owned, right? Like, we'll never see these guys again. And all of a sudden they walk back in and they're like, let us tell you what just happened. Like, we just stood down the Sanhedrin. We just threw Jesus in their face and they couldn't say anything and they just let us go. So it says they told him this. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I'm going to stop there for a second. Because there is something powerful when a group of people get together and pray. Something powerful. It wasn't just a single person praying. It wasn't, they didn't just walk in and somebody say, oh, well, that's, praise God for that. It says all together, all of them who were there lifted their hands in praise and prayer to God. They realized something. They realized that God was who God says he is, that he is in charge of all of this. And they gave him all the glory, and they just went to him in prayer corporately, together, as a group. They all started praying. Have you ever been in a group of people that just pray? And you don't even have to know how to pray for this to happen. Several years ago, I was on a mission trip, and I think there's like about a dozen of us. And we had been going out and doing mission work during the day, and the organization we were with would have these like worship services at night for all the different mission groups. And so, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're all kind of getting together and working all day and doing mission stuff and coming in at night and then doing a worship service. And I don't know, it was like Wednesday or Thursday. I don't even remember which night it was, but I sat there during the worship service and I was just moved by God. I just felt like he was saying, get everyone in your group together, go find a room and pray. And I'm just like, what are we going to pray about? And I just kept feeling like God said, get your people, get a room, and pray. So when the service was over, you know, maybe it started at 7. It was over like 8:30 or whatever. I kind of went around the room, and I kind of found all our folks. And I said, all right, come with me. We're going to go pray. So we got in this room, and we shut the door, and we all kind of set chairs around in a circle. And we all sat there, and everyone's like, all right, what are we praying for? I'm like, I don't know. God just told me we needed to come here and pray. And we just sat there for a moment or two. And I was like, does anybody have anything you want us to pray for you about? And finally somebody said, well, I got some stuff. Could you pray for me? And I said, you know what? Let's do this. And I took a chair and I put it right in the middle of the circle. I said, sit in this chair. Tell us all that you want us to pray for, and then we're going to pray for you. And I said, okay. And they sat in that chair and they opened up and started sharing all this stuff about back home and struggles they were having and all this kind of stuff. And when they finished, we were just immediately just swarmed them and just put hands on them and just prayed. And we finished. Somebody else was like, I want to go next. Like, okay. And I was like, you don't have to go. Like, you know, like, I don't, we'll just, whoever wants to can. And so that person went. They shared all this stuff. We laid hands on them and prayed. Then the next person said, I want to go. Before you knew it, like all 12 of us had done that. All 12 of us had sat in that chair and we had all prayed for one another. We had all opened up and there was tears and sloppy snot, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Like, it was very moving. It was incredible. And right as we were finished, like, we're all sitting around and we're like, holy cow, like, that was a prayer meeting right there. Like, it was just, I'd never been a part of anything like it. I don't know if I've ever been a part of anything like it since. It was just this spontaneous prayer thing. And then I heard the door open up and a custodian walked in. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know anybody was in here. And I was like, oh, I said, do we need to get out? He was like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of late. We need to lock up. I was like, late? I was like, we've been in here like 30 minutes. And I looked at my watch. We had been in there 3 hours. 3 hours. And when I said, we went in there at like 9, I looked at my watch. I said, it's midnight. And everybody was like, no way. They're like, it felt like 20 minutes. I'm like, I know. It was incredible. But that's what happens when God's people get together and pray. There's just this movement. It's like time just kind of stands still. And it's like things happen. It was incredible. And that's what I envisioned happened here. Like, that's the only thing in my life that I can even relate as I read this. I'm like, man, I think that's happened to me one time. Like, we just got together and said, you know what? Let's just praise God. And it says, and they prayed with their voices together in prayer to God. And then they continue on and they said, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then they start quoting Psalm, I think it's like chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth shall take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, with whom you appointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand would happen. There's a bunch of yous and yours in that. They realized that it wasn't about them. They realized that what happened with Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin wasn't on their own power. It wasn't by their own strength. It was solely through God. It was their faith in God that they believed God so much they couldn't help but be bold. So as they're praying, they're like, God, it is all you. It's about your power. It's about who you are. It's not about us. And there's two things I want you to see that they prayed for. Because here's your bold prayers. Verse 29, now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. The first thing they prayed for is they prayed for boldness. I mean, isn't that what got them in trouble in the first place? Like, doesn't that sound crazy? Like Peter and John, who just did the most bold thing that any disciple had ever done, said, all right, God, we got to pray. And what I want more boldness. Like, that's just scratching the surface. Like, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, if you think standing down the Sanhedrin and healing a paralyzed person is bold, like, we want more than that. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that's what got him into trouble. And then I look at my prayer life, and I'm like, there's no boldness in what I pray. Most of us don't pray like that. Have you ever prayed for boldness? Probably not. Because it's not something that we think about. We don't think about being bold. And the reason we don't pray for boldness is because maybe it's scary. Like, man, if I'm so bold, where is that going to take me? What am I going to say? What are people going to think? So we don't pray for boldness because it scares us to death. We don't pray for boldness because when you pray for boldness, it is other-centered. Did you hear that? When we pray for boldness, it's other-centered, not self-centered. Because it's not about being bold for yourself. Boldness is what happens for others that don't have a voice, that need you. God needs your voice. So we don't pray for boldness because we're scared. We don't pray for boldness because all we think about is ourselves. God, help me to make a good presentation today at work. Help me to make an A on this test. Help me to get this job. Help this pimple to go away. You know, like those are the things we pray for because we're very self-centered prayer people. But to pray for boldness, if you pray for boldness, you better be ready because God's going to give it to you. If you say, God, make me bold, he will. Peter had a taste of that boldness. It was almost like this spiritual high for him, you know? Like, here's a guy who was paralyzed, and he just spoke boldly, and all of a sudden the guy's running and dancing and jumping, and all these people were seeing this. Like he goes in front of the Sanhedrin, and he stands them down. People were threatening death to him. In the name of Jesus, he is bold. And he's like, oh, I got to get more of that, right? You think about that thing in your life, whatever it is that you just tried the first time, and you absolutely loved it, and you're like, oh, I need more of that. That's what spiritual boldness does. Maybe the reason that we're not more spiritually bold is because we've never tried it. We've never tried to be bold. And so when we never try it, we're like, I don't know if I would like that or not. It's kind of like the kids who won't eat whatever food you put in front of them because they never tried it. I don't think I'd like that. Well, why not? You never tried it. I just don't think I would. Isn't that how it is with boldness with us? I don't think I want to pray for boldness. Why? I don't think I'll like that. Like, I'm just totally content being timid and cautious and scared. Like, that's the world I want to live in. I don't want to be bold. So let's not pray for boldness. The second thing they prayed for was this. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They prayed for boldness and they prayed for miracles. Peter was just bold. John was just bold, and they're praying for more. They had just seen miracles. Like before this, like Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people come to know Christ. Chapter 3, somebody's getting up that hadn't walked in 40 years. Chapter 4, they're being released from the Sanhedrin when everyone else would have been put to death. Like they had seen miracle after miracle after miracle right there in that short time span. And not only were they praying for more boldness, they were like, give us more miracles. And what do we pray for every day? God, be with us. God, please don't, you know, let anything bad happen to me today. God, that person that, you know, aggravates me at work, let them choose to work from home today. You know, like whatever it is, like those are the things that we pray for. Like there's nothing bold in those things. When was the last time you prayed for a miracle? When was the last time you prayed that the only way that it could happen would be if God stepped in? Like human nature would look at it in society and be like, there's no way that should have happened. There's no way that this can happen outside of God. When was the last time we prayed for a miracle like that? You don't see too many miracles happening inside the church anymore. You don't see too many miracles happen outside the church. It's because we don't ask. We don't seek. We don't look. We're not bold enough to ask for miracles. Why don't we? Why don't we ask for miracles? Do we not believe? Do we not believe that God can still do some miraculous things in this world? Or do you think he's tapped out, right? Do you think he's been like, you know what? I spent it all in like the first 30 generations. Yours is done. Do you think he's just out? You know, is he resting? Is he in a retirement home in Florida? Like, where is he? Like, you know, like we don't know, right? So we don't ask. It's like, well, I don't really know if I believe that. Or maybe we don't ask for miracles because we think if it doesn't come through, it'll make God look bad. Well, I don't want to tell anybody that I'm praying for this miracle because if it doesn't happen, then people are going to doubt God. You don't think God can handle that, right? Like something I've had to learn is I've had to make sure that my faith is big enough for no. I have to make sure that my faith is big enough for not yet. Because there's been miracles in my life that I've prayed for that haven't happened. It's either been a no or a not yet. And so what do? We give God an escape clause, don't we? Well, God, if it's your will, and then we say whatever we want to say. And then if it doesn't happen, then what? Well, you know what? We said if it was God's will, it must not be God's will. Really? You don't think it's God's will that orphans get adopted? You don't think it's God's will that cancer is not cured? You don't think it's God's will that marriages aren't put back together? You don't think those things aren't God's will? They are. But we kind of give this escape clause so that, you know what, if it doesn't work out, God doesn't look bad, I don't look bad, and everybody saves face. How about we just realize that sometimes God just says no, and that we can be fine with that? Because no here on earth doesn't mean no forever. Not yet here on earth doesn't mean not yet forever. Why can't we just be comfortable with that? You know, I prayed for a miracle and God just said no for whatever reason. And I got to roll with that and trust him. This is kind of a silly analogy, but bear with me. When our kids were all in like elementary and middle school, they went to a school in downtown Winston. And so we live here in Kernersville. So every day we'd have to drive down 158 and to get to 40, to get to downtown Cherry Street, to get to downtown school. We did this every day. And you know, Beth's working, you know, she's my sugar mama, so she's making all the money. And so I'm just like butler, cook, so chauffeur, all of these things. And so I'm the guy most of the time just driving up and down 158 getting the kids. There's a McDonald's on 158 there in Walkertown, right? And so sometimes we'd be coming down 158, we'd be approaching the stoplight there at Sheets, and one of the kids would be like, "Dad, can we go to McDonald's for a snack?" And sometimes, being their loving and compassionate father, I'd say, "Sure, kids, let's go to McDonald's for a snack." And we'd go through the drive-through, and everybody would get whatever they little want, little snacks or whatever, and we'd move on. Sometimes they'd say, "Dad, can we go to McDonald's for a snack?" And I'd be like, "No." "Why not?" You know, and they go crazy. "We're just not today." "Well, why not?" And then, "Shut up, I told you no." You know, it was like one of those types of things, right? Like God of the Old Testament, like that kind of father. And so I'm screaming. But sometimes we'd be traveling down 158, heading home, and I'd see the Golden Arches, and I would think to myself, you know what, they asked me, we're going to stop. And guess what? Most of the time, they never asked. We'd drive on by, and I wasn't going to pull in and just give it to them unless they asked. And I'd get home. And then occasionally one of the kids would be like, "Oh man, we should have went to McDonald's." I'm like, "Well, you didn't ask." "Oh, I didn't know we had to." Like, that's us, right? Like, we have this God that sometimes we can ask for things, big things. It doesn't matter how big it is. Just ask for it. And God may say, "Yes." Or he may say, "Not today." Or he may be ready. And we don't have because we haven't asked. And we're going to get home one day. And we're going to stand before God and we're going to say, "God, why didn't you give us this?" He said, "Because you never asked." Are we praying for miracles? So I don't think we should ever stop asking and we should never stop expecting. It doesn't mean that he's going to do anything. He's not our genie in a bottle. But we just have to be comfortable with no. But we have to be willing to ask. Bold prayers. Bold miracles. "God, give us this. Do this in my life. Change this. Take away this addiction. Heal my marriage. Bring my kids back home. Open up this new job. Give me money so I can go on the mission field. Help give me the resources I need." Whatever it may be. Like, pray with boldness. Pray for a miracle in your life. Not something that if it doesn't happen, then no big deal. But pray and you ask. And then here's what I want you to see. We're going to wrap up with this. We're going to read 31 through 35. "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." Verse 32, "All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of the possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. There were no needy people among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet." Bold prayers lead to bold results. I want you guys to hear that again. Bold prayers lead to bold results. As you look through the first couple chapters of Acts, I don't see anyone praying for their meals or saying, God be with me or keep me safe or watch over me or give me a raise or give me a better job or give me a better house. Like, I don't see any of that. I just see bold, miraculous prayers. God, this is where I feel like you want us to go, so give it to us, God. Give us boldness. Give us miracles. Let this happen. And that was their prayer. And because their prayers were bold, the results were bold. And if you look at your life, and I've got to look at my life too, and we look at our life and you're like, you know what? There's been not a whole lot of bold results in my life lately. Why not? It's because we haven't prayed boldly. We haven't asked boldly. We just go about our mundane, normal, timid, conservative, scared lives, expecting that something bold is going to happen. I got news for you. The church will not be bold until the people of the church are bold. If you're not praying with boldness, if you're not praying for miracles, if you're not bold in your own life, why do you expect the church to be bold? Like, we should all be doing something individually. We should be doing something as couples. We should be doing something as families. Like, in our personal life, so that when we come into church, the boldness of the church is an overflow of the boldness of our lives. Amen? I mean, that's good preaching, all right? That is. I'm just telling you. Like, we are not bold as individuals. We are not bold as a church because we are scared. We are scared to trust in a God that split the seas, that created the universe, that makes the lame walk. We are scared to believe in that God anymore. Scared. So this week, I put God to the test, right? And here's what I did. I made a bold prayer, and I tried to pick out something specific that was going on in our lives, right? So, you know, we had this we have this Hope Center that we've been thinking about and praying about for several years. And then, you know, December kind of rolled around of last year, and we kind of got in this agreement with this Wesleyan church that maybe they're going to let us use this old property. You guys know the story, right? And then we get in there in January, and our prayer was, you know what? We're going to run with this. We tried to give them money for it. We were like, let us pay you rent. And they kept saying, no, just use it for free. All right. So we've been using this facility like rent-free now for like 7 months. And so our prayer has been, God, if you don't want us in here, then shut the door, right? Like, let someone else come in here and buy it. Well, they had an offer. I mean, it went all the way down to like crunch time, and then they couldn't get financing and it fell through. So they were like, all right, you guys can stay. So we stayed. And we just kept doing ministry out of it. In the few short months, I think we started like at the end of March, on 1st of March maybe. Like, we've served in the food bank and the clothing ministry 93 families and over 300 people in just a few months. We've had dance classes in it. We've had fitness classes in it. We've had all kinds of things going on in it, like things that are like reaching the community, hundreds of people. So a month or so ago, or two now, I don't know, I said, all right, let's see if we can maybe buy this thing. And there's no reason a bank should give us a loan, right? Like, they just should. We don't have any money, right? Like, hopefully they're not listening. Like, we don't have anything. But, well, we have a little bit. But, you know, we had to turn all that over. But we found this bank, and we said, all right. And I was brutally honest with the guys. Like, here's who we are. Here's what we do. This is what I want. And I just kind of told them what we were looking for as far as, you know, the loan situation and lower interest rate of what we're paying now. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da. So then he calls 2 weeks ago. You know, we sent out this email. We told y'all this. Like, he called and said, you got the loan. And so I said, great. So now all we need is to determine is the price. So right after that, I called the church. And I said, all right, we've been approved. I want you to give me your rock bottom offer. Just tell me. Just you guys meet. Say, all right, I want to get in negotiations, right? Like, just here's what we want. For the last 6 months, I've had this, like, price in my head, in my heart, in my spirit. Like, this is how much I feel like we're going to get this building for. And it's like 60% less than asking price. And I'm like, I feel like this is what God wants. So we had that going on. So this past week, I prayed, God, give us this building for that price. Like, this is how bold I want to be. Like, this is the price that keeps coming up in my head. This is what I want. And then I was like, and show me that you're going to take care of us financially. Just show me. And I didn't know what was going to happen. Friday night, head of the trustees calls, says, all right, Mike, here's what we decided. We can do this price. It was to the penny the price that I asked God to give us this building for. This morning I come in and I get a note. Someone from our extended Re3 family, they don't come here, they're part of like way, way extended, felt led to give the Hope Center a little bit of money. And so we received a payment for $5,000 for the Hope Center 2 days ago. I think that's pretty bold. And I think God answers bold prayers. I will give you what you want if you ask for it, and I will show you that I will put people around you that will take care of things. That's just one tiny example. It's just one tiny thing. I don't know what God's going to do with the Hope Center. I don't. But the same thing could be done in your life. The same thing could be done in yours. What do you need to pray boldly about? What? Is it the healing of a marriage? Is it a healing of kids? Healing of relationships? Physical healing? Is it like just saying, God, just make me bold. Like, show me how I can do things for you when maybe I'm hanging on too tight to my own money or my own resources or whatever it may be. Like, I'm not even saying you got to give it to Re3. Like give it to whoever. Give it to God and let him figure out where he wants to put it. Just saying, God, here I am. Like, man, what if we prayed bold prayers? What if we prayed for boldness, and what if we prayed for miracles? What would your life look like? How would your life be different? And how would this church be different? Because I feel like we've done a lot with a little boldness. What if we all started praying for big boldness? What would happen? We'd have 1,000 Hope Centers all over this country. Amen? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Like, this is just the beginning. We're like, we'll franchise them. Like, whatever, right? I don't know how that works, but that's it. Like, it's got to start somewhere. So why not here? Why not just go for it? Man. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. If your prayers are small, your God is small. If you don't pray at all, your God is not existent. But if you pray big, if you pray bold, then you believe in the God of the Bible. The God that creates the universe, split seas, and makes the lame walk. Amen? Are we going to pray boldly? Or are we going to live this timid, scared, conservative, cautious life and just ride it out till the end? And then we're going to show up at our home one day, and God's going to say, you didn't have because you didn't ask. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want y'all to be that guy or gal. We can do this. God is calling your family to be bold. He's calling you to be bold. He's calling our church to be bold. Whatever that looks like, I don't have a clue. Peter and John didn't either. They were just labeled idiots. I want a church full of idiots, right? Like, why do we don't know what we're doing? Let's just go do it. That's all we want. Let's pray. God, this morning we pray for boldness. We pray for miracles. For all of us, that boldness is something different. We all have these individual things in our lives that we're going through, struggles that maybe nobody else knows but you. God, maybe we need freedom. Freedom from pride, freedom from jealousy, freedom from addictions. And it's going to take bold things for that to happen. Or maybe we need to pray boldly for our marriage to be healed. We need to pray boldly for that future spouse. That maybe we need to, boldly change ourselves to ready ourselves for who you have for us. God, maybe we need to be bolder in the way we're raising our kids, the way that we spend our money. Maybe we need to be bolder in the way we live our lives outside of these four walls. That people are amazed by our lifestyle. And our only answer is, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Lord, let us pray with great boldness. Let us pray for miracles. And God, let us be at peace with no and not yet. Because it doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you can't handle it. It just means you love us. God, we pray for the direction of this church. We pray for decisions that are going to be made, not just this month or next year, but 10 years from now. Are we going to be a church that's known for our boldness? Are we going to be a church and a community that's known for stepping out in faith, that's believing in you? God, if we're ever not that church, then close these doors. If we're just another building full of people who are timid and scared, shut these doors and don't let us ever open again. But as long as this church is living and breathing, God, let it be a church that is boldly moving forward for you and with you. The same faith that we stepped out in 8 years ago, let's continue to step out in faith 8 years from now. God, this is your bride. Let us boldly walk with her. God, thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for everything you've blessed us with. Let us not take anything for granted, Lord. It is because of you that we have all things. It's because of you we can do all things. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, Tim.